Da-na-da-na-da-na. This is where the intro music goes. Da-na-da-na.
But, and this butt is a big butt.
Ooh, I cannot lie.
Yeah, I like big butts. Yeah. That is a hot take, my friend. hot take. Num, 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 num. I'll eat that, bro. Man, Cincy Steven's going to get that.
What's up, y'all? I am back. It is time for Grade A. I am Adam Ligand, back from my travels halfway around the world, still paying attention to the orange and blue as I was in the beautiful country of Japan, watched and listened to the recaps of both. Oh, what games were those? Let's see. We had NYCFC in Chicago. Big thanks to both Jamie and Steven for sitting in for me. Yeah, it was great to listen, to be kind of on the other side and hear somebody else break it down. But as always, the one common denominator in all of it was my man, Adam Kuhn. And Adam, we are back to talk about match day 17. This one kind of felt like a little bit of a at the end, a 1-1 tie to the Vancouver Whitecaps. But I haven't talked to you in a couple weeks, man. How you been?
I've been doing pretty well. Nowhere near as exciting as what's been going on with you, but you know, I've been holding it down here. Lots of good wins, and you know, this last one, the I think the travel finally caught up to us a little bit. You know, that flight out to Vancouver, the turf, it all seemed to kind of come together. We couldn't quite get that last win to end out this tough stand, but you know, you tell me coming in that we'd have 40 points halfway through the season. I don't think there's a MLS fan anywhere that would deny that. So
yes. And incredibly, we have some within our own fan base that just feel like the world is falling apart around us as we sit on 40 points and in first place, 8 points clear and shield and this. But yeah, it was great to have a couple of guys stand in. Obviously, there's been some other big news with the league lately with the announcement of Mr. Messi coming to the Messi team of Miami. The only thing I want to touch on that, Adam, real quick before we jump into this game is, you know, there's a guy on, I think it was Fox News, taking some slack talking about, you know, when David Beckham came over that he's worried that Messi doesn't speak English and that he was happy Beckham came over, he learned to speak English. And I got to be honest, though, after listening to Jamie break down, I kind of get what he was saying, because, you know, Jamie, thank God he's learned to speak the dialect, because he was hard to follow sometimes. Nah, I say that with nothing but love, and I hope he's laughing and calling me a wanker at this very, very moment. So, but
you are indeed a wanker.
But yeah, let's talk about this Vancouver game, because again, like you said, at the end of all, you know, kind of at the end of the run, you could kind of see the fumes really from both teams. For me, the game was largely unwatchable for about the first 60 minutes between the turf and just the pace of play and all the bad giveaways, and neither team really seeming like they were very interested. I think both were kind of waiting for the 60 or 70 minute mark to start, quote unquote, trying, although we had plenty of chances. And we will start, as always, in the goal with the man that earned probably a shutout, but ended up not getting it because of the PK, and that is Roman Celentano. So as I said, he gave up one, probably should have had a zero, but what was his rating from you?
Well, I mean, I thought of it this way. I didn't think that he really had any truly difficult saves. He had a decent save on Cordova. It was fairly close range and low, kind of mishandled it, gave up a bit of a rebound. That was definitely his hardest save of the night. He was able to cover it up after that. Then he got credited for a save on a back post header by Javen Brown. Really a nearly impossible angle for Javen Brown to get that past him. Roman was in great positioning, though. Caught it, you know, no problems there. You know, I thought Roman's distribution was fairly shaky. He put a few balls straight out to touch, although I will say some of the back passing wasn't doing him any favors either.
They were coming in hot, man. They were flying back there.
Right. So, you know, I do put some of that on the defensive back, the center backs, and You know, and then the PK, obviously, he guesses wrong there, but that's a 50-50 shot.
Crapshoot.
Right. Crapshoot. Can't really blame a keeper for letting in a PK. But like I said, I don't really think it was a tremendously difficult game outside of the PK. He really didn't have too many difficult shots to save, but he did fine with that. I gave Roma the 6.5.
Yeah, I agree with you on the distribution part. I think this was his sketchiest in a long time. But to your point, and again, I'll talk about the turf and might as well just put it out there now. I mean, the ball is going to go faster. You're not going to get a true bounce. You're going to get these odd hops as it's coming over the turf that you just don't get on grass. And they didn't do him any favors on a few of them, kind of put him in a tough spot. And he's just like, I just need to get this thing out of here. But, you know, it's what it is. Everybody had to deal with it, but it definitely was not one of his better. But I think on the balance, a 6.5 is probably fair for our young budding star in the net. So let's move to the outfield players, right? So we come out in the 3-4-1-2. Why, Adam? Because we never lose. We don't always win.
Yeah,
sometimes we tie, but we don't lose. So across the back, Ian Murphy gets the start at left. Ian Murphy is probably going to be seeing some significant minutes in the foreseeable future with the absence of both Yrsin Mascara and now Matt Miazga to the Gold Cup. So we start with Ian on the left. I thought he had a pretty solid game. What about you?
I thought it was a bit of a mixed bag. I thought he was beat over the top by Brian White. You know, Brian White ended up getting a shot over the top that went just wide and then got beat again on a through ball to Cordova, where Cordova got his shot on goal. I did think his distribution was okay, but not great. He was 80% passing, four recoveries, that led all the center backs. But he was only 3 of 7 on duels, which is kind of a problem that I saw with all the center backs. You know, like you said, a lot has to do with like the bounce off the turf, seemed to bite our guys more times than not. You know, Vancouver knew how to play the bounce. Brian White mm-hmm. especially did well with that. And I thought Murphy in particular looked shaky a few times. I ended up giving him a 5.5.
Yeah, I like the comment that you made just about the shakiness in the tackles. I almost felt like, and Kubo was one that changed his cleats right away. And it felt like they just didn't feel like they could really stick their foot down and mm-hmm. feel confident in doing it. And as a result, we kind of had, I don't want to, you know, a half step late into a challenge or maybe a 60, 70, 80% challenge. You know what I mean? It just didn't have the normal bite that we typically have, I think, out of the back three. So, all right, let's move to Matt Miazga. I think this is going to be the hardest one for you to judge. I thought his game, I will characterize it as polarizing if you ask me. I thought he came out a little bit too amped up. Like, it just seemed like he was chomping and chirping. And, you know, Matt brings that sort of moxie. He brings that sort of edge to the back line. I thought in this one, it was a bit much, if I can put it that way. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, he plays a tremendous, beautiful ball to Lucho and gets the assist and then commits what really is just a bonehead foul. Didn't need to make the contact. The ball was skipping by, basically bails Vancouver out with a very soft, but I'd say on balance, you know, it's going to get called penalty 10 out of 10 times. So I'm really curious where you bring him in on your rating.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with all of that. I thought Miazga in particular looked like he had a lot of problems with the weight of some of his passes. Now, he had two of the finest passes of the game. I mean, two mm-hmm. just real strikes. The first one, you know, it was a really great long ball to Vasquez, where Vasquez was able to get it 1v3. And Vasquez did a great job to get the early shot. That was in like the 12th minute or so of the game. Mm-hmm. It was a really, really great play, but it was set up by an amazing long ball by Miazga. And then, of course, Miazga got the assist on the goal, which was another, you know, absolute strike from, you know, 60, 70 yards right on Lucho. But there's a lot of times also where I thought both his defense was called into question and his passing. He was beat over the top by Brian White on that shot that was just wide. Like, he and Murphy were both kind of on him, and Brian White was able to get away and get a clean shot. I thought he had a terrible first touch pass that led to the Cordova picking his pocket. He did do well to get back to kind of block off a Cordova shot, but really Mascara was able to save the day by coming across the field and cutting off the pass there. Where that was just an absolute, you know, that was one where Mascara really bailed him out, honestly, from a terrible pass. He had a really dangerous back pass to Roman. The Roman had to play straight out. He passed Mascara into a turnover. He was able to recover that one again. He did a good job of recovering that. But again, it was like a pass where he passed Mascara straight into trouble there. Really poor pass that got intercepted and led to that Brian White chip shot that he put on top of the goal. And then, you know, the defense on Cordova, like you said, it was a completely unnecessary push. It's something that's going to get called every single time. I, you know, no arguments from me, no arguments from him. You know, and he was 79% passing, which just isn't good enough for somebody that plays on the back line. It's only one of six on his duels, only two clearances and two recoveries. He did have a block shot, but, you know, on the whole, I did not think Miazga played a very good game. I thought it was his worst game since coming onto the team. I gave him a 4.0.
Ooh, man, now that's a lot lower than I thought, but I'm not going to say it's not justified. I just felt like he was too amped up. Mm-hmm. Like, it's from the drop. He was like, I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know what the reasoning behind it was, but because Matt, again, he always plays with that edge and we like that about him. I was really like, I was waiting for the yellow card to come to the entire game. I'm like, well, he's going to miss the next game because he is riding that line. If not, he was a habitual line stepper. For those of you that know Dave Chappelle, my man, Matt was a habitual line stepper and somehow avoided the yellow. That bad touch at midfield, I thought for sure it was over. I thought he was going to grab him, commit the foul, take the yellow. Luckily he didn't, and Yersin bailed him out. But yeah, it was a frustrating thing to watch for him, because again, I don't know that Vancouver was really doing much of anything other than dumping the balls down into the corners and seeing what would happen. But I don't know. It was not good, but he's off to the Gold Cup, so he's going to have a little bit of time, not really too much time off, because I guess they're straight into camp. So another player that's going to be leaving, going to a different country, though, is going to be Yersin Mascaro. Rightfully so, gets called up and is on his way. We were lucky to have him for this game, and honestly, lucky to have him for this game. So how about that? So talk about Yersin.
Yeah, I thought he was definitely our best center back, like easily. Like I mentioned before, he really, really bailed out Miazga on that bad back pass, or where Miazga got his pocket picked, actually. Also, you know, he had one play where he didn't really take a great line on a poor Miazga pass, kind of exacerbated the problem, but again, he was able to make a play defensively. He had a heavy late challenge on his yellow that I thought was a definite yellow. No complaints. Yeah,
that was a rough one. That was a rough one. That's probably the worst foul I've seen him commit.
Yeah, honestly, it really was a pretty heavy one. And you know, he was beaten over the top by Brian White, but again, that was sort of, he was trying to pick up the slack for Alves, who was beaten first. That was where Roman put it on top of the net. But beyond that, like, I did think Mascara was very active in the box. He had eight clearances, which led the team. He had a block shot. He was 87% passing, which I thought, you know, he was by far, I thought, our most effective player playing it out of the back. I thought that he and Alves kind of paired up well, and he was able to also switch play well, get it over to the left. So I thought he did pretty well there. He was only 5 of 11 on duels, but that was actually the best of our starting center backs. So I gave him a 7.0.
Yeah, I think on balance, again, I've said that three times. I'm going to stop saying it. But I think in this one, for sure, he was, and he has been, let's be honest, the entire first half of this season, he has been our best center back. And we're going to miss him while he's gone. It's going to be interesting to see what Noonan has to do with the absence of both Miazga and Mosquera. You're probably going to see Alvis Powell get some rotation back there. Hagelin, hopefully, you know, maybe his injury came at a good point where he's a little bit well-rested, because my boy is going to be playing a lot. So, all right, let's move to the midfield for across. As usual, we'll start on the left with Alvaro Barrial. Last time I saw him, he was hitting a banger in the Open Cup. Was that the last game before this one? I don't remember. Yeah, that was a Tuesday. I don't know. I don't know my days. Yeah, so coming off that. So in this one, I thought it was okay. I thought he was pretty good. There were times in the game, though, where I just felt like, I don't want to say he disappeared. There wasn't a whole lot going on for him, right? He wasn't necessarily maybe getting the service or the ball going through him as much. Did you see the same thing or something different?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I thought he played a pretty good game. But again, like there were, you know, he had some opportunities, but didn't seem like a lot of the best opportunities were coming. Like, he wasn't a particularly dangerous force. He did have a shot early on that would have been an absolute worldie when Vasquez kind of absolutely muffed his shot. Right? And it fell to Barrial. If Barrial would have put that in, it would have been an amazing goal. But, you know, he didn't. So I didn't really count him off for that, because that was an absolute, would have been an absolute fluky goal. You know, he had a really nice wide run and shot that was deflected by Kubo. Ended up, Vancouver's goalkeeper needed to make a diving save on that. He had a nearly perfect cross to Vasquez that Vasquez put over the net. Again, you know, like Barrial probably should have had a assist on that. He did get beat by Gressel out wide toward the end of the game. It was a pretty great crossing opportunity, but ended up coming to nothing. He drew a yellow on Vite, and his 7 progressive receptions led the team. He did have 3 progressive passes, which was tied with several people for the team lead. You know, I thought he was good, but again, I can't say that his play was one way or the other the decisive factor, so I gave him a 7.0.
Yeah, I just didn't feel like, and the absence of Lucho, I think, had a lot to do with that, because they play off each other so well. Lucho likes to drift out onto that left-hand side. You weren't seeing that out of Kubo. We'll talk about that when we get to Yuya in his game. But so it kind of left him out on an island, and you kind of saw, again, he's not the creative playmaker. He is a great complement to somebody and can play off of another playmaker, but still, to his credit, had his moments in this one. So, you know, on all in all, a decent game for him, just not what we've probably been seeing these last couple of weeks, as he's been absolutely on fire. Junior Moreno next in the center of the midfield. I think a quiet night for Junior. What about you?
Yeah, pretty quiet night. I don't have a whole lot of notes on him. I thought he had one really great play where he won the ball right out. So that was off that Gressel cross that I just mentioned that Vasquez led up. He was able to defend that in a really tight space, win the ball cleanly in the penalty area, and get it out for a goal kick. So that was a really fine play. He was 91% passing, you know, typical Junior numbers there. 5 of 10 on duels, just sort of so-so there. All in all, a fairly quiet night, though. You know, he didn't see a whole lot of the ball, not nearly as much as some of the other guys in the midfield. So I thought he was solid, but again, not decisive. I gave him a 6.5.
Yeah, it's pretty unspectacular in this one. So playing on this turf, the turf plays fast. The man that plays fast and plays even faster on turf, I think, is Obi. I thought Obi was a man possessed. I thought he was all over the place, you know, doing Obi things. So I thought this was a better than average game out of him. Where did he come in for you on the ratings?
I thought, I agree with you. I thought he had a great interception and ball for Kubo, where Kubo ended up putting the ball just wide. Kubo honestly probably had Lucho open on the left side for a through ball, but didn't see him. But yeah, Obi did a great job controlling the middle of the field. He won 8 of 10 ground duels. He won 4 of his 5 tackles. All those numbers led the team. He had 6 recoveries, which led the team. That actually tied him with Moreno. 89% passing. And he led the team in progressive passes and progressive carries with 4 each. He had 3 shot-creating actions, which led the team. Again, tied for the team lead. But, you know, defensively and offensively, I thought he was consistently one of our better players, even if he did not get the assist on a goal. I did think that he was involved a lot, getting the ball forward and winning the ball back for us. I'm not going to break with my tradition, and I'm not going to make Lucho my man of the match. So 7.5 for Obi. He was my man of the match.
Yeah, I think that is completely fair, given the circumstance of the first 85 minutes of this game. I think it's more than fair to give Obi the man of the match, because, again, throughout the 90 minutes, he was the most assertive. He was the most effective. We'll move to the outside and finish the midfield. Speaking of effective, I thought Alves was pretty good in this one, and I think in the coming weeks, we're going to see more of Alves Powell. Now, Santi Arias will probably be dispatched in that position, but I think you're going to see Alves in that role either as a late-game sub or probably more often than not playing as a right center back, because we're going to be very thin, particularly with the absence of Miazga over an extended period of time. But Alves in this one, for my money, was pretty good. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I thought he had a pretty nice run and cross to a wide open Vasquez, where that was the one where Vasquez whiffed on it. But it was a really nice run by Alves on that. Really nice ball, caught him, you know, wide open right on his feet. So, you know, the service couldn't have been any better. There was a time where he and Mosquera kind of got beat over the top by Brian White, both kind of misplayed the bounce. I thought Alves's passing, especially when he was on the wing, was fairly effective. He was only 73% passing, but again, I thought he tested their defense more than he usually does. And I thought defensively he was really very good. He was 7 of 9 on all his duels. Most of those were ground duels. I thought he was very effective winning the ball back. I thought it was a pretty nice game for Alves, both offensively and defensively. I gave him a 7.0.
Yeah, I thought Alves was pretty damn good in this one. All right, so let's move to the attack. So Lucho starts on the bench for the first time. I think it was the first time he hasn't started this year, if I'm correct. So finally gets a bit of a rest, although I kind of questioned it at the time. And I'd be interested to see when you start talking about Yuya, you can maybe touch on this too. With it being the last game in this run of games, like, empty the tank is kind of what I felt like. Throw everything at it, because at this point, especially for someone like Lucho, he's going to have a break. But instead, Noonan chooses to put Kubo on. He's a different kind of player. He's a bit more direct. Not going to be maybe as flashy. I thought he had himself a couple of opportunities. One in particular, Lucho was upset about, and he should have played Lucho the ball, if I'm being completely honest. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how did he do at the, at the steering wheel, right? As the man that was put in charge of directing the attack, how did he do?
Yeah, I wasn't wild about it. I thought he had
a fair,
really heavy touch in the defensive half that led to a early dangerous Berhalter shot. He did have a really great long pass that sprung Alves wide on that Vasquez misfire. He had a really nice recovery and run into the box on a 3-versus-3. That's where, you know, the pass wasn't quite there. It was a little hard to Vasquez, so it kind of clanked off of him. But he did have a really good opportunity on Barrial's deflected shot, where he was able to deflect Barrial's shot, get it on goal. ended up being a diving save there by the keeper. He put a shot just wide. That was the one where he missed Lucho. He was dispossessed three times, which led the team. I did think he was a little bit careless with the ball at times. Wasn't quite aware of Vancouver's defense. And, he doesn't open up players quite as much as Lucho does. Like, he doesn't give them the open looks that Lucho does. So, you know, not a terribly effective game. I gave Yuya Kubo a 5.5.
Yeah, the other thing, you know, when you're defending somebody like Kubo as opposed to Lucho, like, the defenders are probably scared when Lucho is bringing the ball because he's setting them up. And I think Yuya just plays a little bit more direct. He does have a little sauce in his game, but mm-hmm. not to the same extent. And I don't think he commands the same amount of respect. So, and I, you know, before we move to the forwards, I will say I thought Vancouver did a tremendous job of pressing us. And it really caused us problems, especially on the turf with our first touches being heavy, with the speed of our passes not being weighted correctly. I thought they knew exactly what they were going to do. It's probably why they are so difficult to beat at home, is because they were just on us the minute we got the ball to try to turn it back over. And more often than not, I felt like they were successful in doing that. So,
yeah, no, I agree.
All right. Well, let's move up top. We'll start with Dom Baji. I don't have many thoughts on Dom's game. Do you?
No, not really. Only 17 touches from Dom Baji. He did draw a yellow on Raposo in a dangerous spot. He got a rebound on that save Kubo shot, but the deflected shot, but that was blocked. He did get a left-footed shot on goal, but in typical Dom Baji fashion, that was right on the keeper. So, you know, not a terribly effective game from Dom Baji. But, you know, I guess he was kind of disappeared in a bad way in this one. So I ended up giving him a 5.5.
Oof. I think what we need to do when he starts is they need to put as much like Colorado stuff in the locker room and out on the field to make him feel like he's in Colorado again, to where he can put the ball in the back of the net. I say that, you know, kind of tongue in cheek, but kind of seriously, because if it'll help him score, I'm for it. So,
yeah.
Speaking of helping people score, ooh, I feel like we've been building this entire pod to this one player. So Brandon Vasquez, a lot of opinions floating out there on the socials these days about Brandon, and especially in this game. I'm going to give it to you because you're the man with the facts. You're the man with the numbers. You're the man with the opinion that matters. Talk to me about the game of one Brandon Vasquez.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of two opinions. First on the game, it was not a good game. You know, he did have a really, on that great Miazga pass, a really great settle, was able to beat mm-hmm. three guys and get a really good shot on goal. And I thought that his reaction to that was telling to me, because he immediately like put his head down in his hands. And it, like, I thought it was a really...
I would have been happy to get the shot off.
Yeah, man. Exactly. It was a really high degree of difficulty, but I feel like he immediately got his shoulders slumped. Like, he wanted that goal so bad that it kind of got in his head for the rest of the game. Because, you know, about 5 minutes after that was when he whiffed on the Alvaro cross. Again, you know, whiffs on it. It ends up going to Barrial, and again, puts his head, like his hands over his face. And you know, you can just tell he gets more and more dejected as the game goes on. Had a really bad mistouch on a Kubo pass. That one did come in hot. That was what I was referring to before, where Kubo had a really nice run, but his pass left a lot to be desired. But, you know, again, he got it in a dangerous position. Like, he had 7 touches in the opposing box, which is a high number for anybody, and to come away with that without a goal is pretty disappointing. And had a really nice hold up play, found open space in front of goal, got ready for the cross. The cross from Barrial was perfect. Again, puts it like, I'm not even sure how he misses the net on that one, but yeah. Puts it way over. You know, like, I just feel like he is you know, he's got given himself the yips a bit. I just think that when it comes to actually shooting the goal, you know, taking an actual shot attempt, he is in his head, and it's just not looking as good as it should. Like I said, he had six touches in the box, did not take advantage of any of them. So, you know, it's hard for me to give him a good score. I gave him a 4.5 for this game.
Yeah, I mean, 1.15 XG, and he comes away with nothing. And I think there was another play in there, and see if you remember this one, but I thought there was a moment, too, where he had the ball, and I'm like, oh, he's going to shoot, and he didn't, and he passed it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Why? Yeah. Like, that, to me, was the minute that I said, oh, shit. Like, he is, once you're not, once you get trigger shy, and you're like, oh, you start thinking, like, that just needs to be, you just need to bomb that ball in there at that point in time.
Well, right. And, you know, I do think that this international break is coming at a good time for him. Like, I really like the first part of the Gold Cup, we're playing lesser teams anyway. So I want to see him get minutes against some of those. I forget who we're playing, but, you know, it's usually like Dominical or some, you know, some lesser Caribbean teams. I want to see him get some confidence builders.
Yeah, you know, I'm maybe getting away from Cincinnati and getting away from the group, kind of, you know, putting him in a different atmosphere to kind of get himself straight again.
Right. And you know, I just think that, you know, I don't buy into, like, well, last year was just a career year. Everything went right for him. Like, you know, he hasn't been injured. Like, he's capable of scoring 18 goals in this league. And I know that he's capable of it because he's scored 18 goals in this league. I don't buy into, like, that was an anomaly or anything like that. Like, he could have easily had, if this game was last year, he would have had two or three goals in this game. You know, but it is a matter of him having the confidence to put these shots away, or maybe not even the confidence, just not thinking about it too hard. I just think that he's trying to, you know, that old pitching axiom of, you know, you don't aim your pitches, you just throw it. Like, you right. don't aim your shots, you just try to put it in a general area and you know, hope that everything goes well. And you know, I think he's thinking too much about where he wants the shot to go and not just letting his instincts take over.
Yeah. Well, let's recap these. The one thing I'll say before I recap the scores real quick, because I put this out there, you know, the other thing you got to remember, and this goes back to your idea of, you know, he's capable. It's not like he has disappeared and he's not getting chances. He's still putting himself in the position. He's still getting the balls. You know, he's still putting himself in the spot to be able to score. I've seen with strikers in the past where when they, you know, when they disappear, they literally disappear.
Oh, yeah.
He's not disappearing. And I think that's part of the frustration. And I'm sure it is carrying over for him as well. He's human. It has to. He knows that he's right there. He knows that he's close. He just has to get over that, whether it's mental block or whatever you want to call it, you know, and then hopefully the floodgates will open. So we will keep our fingers crossed that this break is good for Mr. Vasquez. But let's recap these scores. And remember, when I read these, we actually did take a point out of this game and literally we're 10 minutes away from grabbing all three. So we'll start with Roman with a 6.5 in the goal. The back line, Murphy with a 5.5, Miazga with a disappointing 4, and Yersin, our best center back, with a 7. Across the midfield, Barrial with a 7, Moreno with a quiet 6.5. Your man of the match from Adam Kuhn is Obi with a 7.5, and Powell with a very respectable 7 in this one. Kubo gets the start for Lucho. He is at 5.5. Baji, 5.5, and Brandon Vasquez with a 4.5. Again, add it all up, it's a 1-1 tie. Probably feels like we dropped 2 points. Really kind of felt like we dropped points for the first time this year. Really had an opportunity to put some space, although we still have quite a bit of space, both in the Eastern Conference and in the Supporter Shield. But this would have been a great one going into the break to have bagged 3 out of. But in the end, Vancouver is a tough place to win. You come away with a point, it's better than coming away with none. There was some other results that went our way that kind of helped in terms of Nashville and really Philly. I was glad to see Philly lose. So you want to talk about the subs? I'm sure you do. There were a couple of meaningful ones. I thought both Arias and Acosta, when they came in, you know, Lucho obviously got the goal, but you want to talk about any of the subs?
Yeah, both of them. Yeah, Lucho, absolutely, you know, when Lucho and Arias came in, it did change the, you know, the total complexion of the game. I mean, you know, it was also them bringing in Gold and, oh, I forget the other guy, but, you know, they made their, oh, Gressel, they made their key subs. We made our key subs, really opened up the game a lot. Lucho, obviously, with the magic, that was, you know, that's the kind of play you get only from Lucho. That's why, you know, you pay Lucho.
not yet, but hopefully it's coming.
Yeah. And yeah, I thought Arias was very effective in his time in. I want to say he had three recoveries and you know, like he was pretty close to the team lead in recoveries in a short stint. I thought he was, you know, he grabbed a couple of interceptions. Like I thought defensively he did a really great job, paired well with Alves. And you know, he looks more and more comfortable getting the ball forward each time I see him. So I like what I saw from him.
Yeah, I think that Alves Arias pairing is one that, again, I think we're probably going to see a little bit more of that. You know, over the course of probably this run of Gold Cup games, minimally. Still have to remember too, you know, we've got some guys that are still on yellow card watch that are going to be in those match days, so we got to keep an eye on that as well. So, 40 points, 17 games in, like you said in the opening. Like, I don't think that there's many people that can complain about it. You've got an 8-point cushion on Nashville, who is second in the East, 10 points on Philadelphia. And you know, with games in hand, you know, don't really know what LAFC is going to do. I mean, they got worked by Houston, who is looking more and more like a legit team over there in the Western Conference. But, you know, you look at this first half of the season, and I still think you look at this team and you say we're kind of still been stuck in second gear. Yet here we are sitting on 40 points, 2.35 points per game. You gotta feel good.
Yeah. to put it lightly, yeah. I think my greatest underestimation for this year is how good of a coach Pat Noonan is. I mean, this has just been an absolute brutal stretch of games, and to come away, you know, with like what, two ties and eight wins or whatever. Yeah. Like that's incredible. I mean, you know, we are done now with trips to the West Coast. I think we have, what is like eight home games and nine road games. So it's not like there's one more road game, but I mean, honestly, the rest of the schedule is not going to be as tough as this part of the schedule was, like just in terms of the logistics of it and the short weeks and the you know, zero time to prepare for matches. And, you know, I'm just sure, you know, Noonan wants to have, you know, be able to work on tactics again and not just, you know, have recovery days in between games. So, yeah, I am really happy with where we are. I couldn't have believed it if you told me we'd have 40 points at this point. Honestly, wouldn't have been a, you know, terrible goal for, you know, going into the last month of the season to be on 40 points, to be honest. But,
right,
you know, yeah, like it's just a ton of points. So I'm happy where we are. I'm not going to complain about anything. You know, Vasquez, you know, there's guys that should be doing better, but you know, we're at the end of the day, we're winning games and you know, we can pick those guys up, and when they pick, you know, there's room for us to get better too, which is what's really scary.
Mm-hmm. Yep, if we can start scoring 2 to 3 a game, I just don't see, you know, I don't see how we drop a significant number of points. Now, that's been the problem this entire year, is getting that second goal or that third goal. But, you know, some reinforcements coming, hopefully, and hopefully that hopefully Mr. Albright is not done, that we will have more than just one ad in this summer window, because, you know, we are thin at positions, but this is not something that is just about Cincinnati either. Every team in this league plays with these same restrictions, and every team in this league is going to deal with injuries, is going to deal with thinness at positions. Our spine, if it stays 80% intact, I feel like we're still going to be okay. And to your point, Noonan has done just a masterful job pushing the right buttons, putting the right guys in positions, making the right subs. That travels, right? Like that doesn't, magically forget. He doesn't magically just forget how to coach. So I think if he had to go into protection mode, he would very much know how to do it. Haven't seen him have to do that yet, but you know, if things start to get tight, I think he's smart enough to get out ahead of it. But, so we got a bit of a break. We're back home next on June 21st at home against Toronto, a team that we do play twice in the second half. Kind of on the come up a little bit. They seem to have been clicking since their locker room blow up, but we do get that one at home, which I think is of a benefit to us since we play so well at home. So, you know, you'd like to think we can still finish out June between Toronto and DC on the right note. And then, you know, things really will start picking up into July. You get some of the mid to top to, well, you're going to have the top teams in the East still on that schedule to come. So it's, and all of them are Eastern Conference games too. So like, you know, there's none of those. I don't know why they call them free games. I mean, 3 points is still 3 points, but the idea that you're not losing it against some, I mean, you know, teams win and lose every week. So,
right.
Yeah. I never understood the logic in that, but it is what it is. So anyway. All right. I don't know, man, you got anything else? This is it for a week or so, or a couple of weeks, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Like a week and a half. I don't know. I'll be,
enjoying your vacation.
Yeah. Right. I'll be, I guess, not doing this for 10 days. I don't know what I'm going to do. Hopefully for the Toronto game, Bradley is back and healthy and back bringing Toronto down. So that's my hope.
We can all hope. All right. Well, everybody, it's great to be back. Thanks for listening. And thanks again to both Jamie and Steven for sitting in. And as always, the guy that does it week in and week out, the guy that never gets a break, is Adam Kuhn. So Adam, thanks to you, of course. It's a great day. I am Adam Wygan. Prost.
And I'm Adam Kuhn. Hey, Blue Joe.
I was like, what? And so sitting down on them, it's like, oh, okay, I can get used to this. And then they have a button that'll play like it's like poop music. It's got this little button that says like privacy or whatever. So you hit it and it's not music, but it's like a combination of like this white noise with like this music behind. It's like the most relaxing thing you'll ever. Yeah. And you just kind of like, oh, all right, here we go.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. It was awesome. Lots of walking, though. Walked like 8-9 miles a day.
So, wow.
Yeah, I mean, but their trains, the subways, I mean, yeah, like cars are very much secondary, if not thirdary, like behind walking and biking. Like that's all everybody does. That's, you know, what most people do. And yeah, the train system is just so good. So,
right. Well, yeah, that's, you know, that's what makes all that possible. It's just being able to get around quickly, like you can hop on a train and be anywhere in the country in like, you know, an hour and a half.
Yeah, maybe not that fast, but yes, you can be there quite fast. But Google Maps did a good job too, because it would tell you like, okay, you want to go to this station and this is the train and you want to be on this car. And then when you get out, you walk to this station and this is the exit you go out of. And so, yeah, it was, it made getting around. We had guides in Tokyo and Kyoto. So, but we had, for each of the first day, and then we were on our own. So it was pretty rad, man. Pretty insane.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And that was after my daughter got married.
Oof. Right.
Well, I tell you, what a 2 weeks it's been.
Yeah.
And here we are going
here
into
we
a
are.
Break. Here we are going into a break on a, I don't know, on a, on a.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, I could use the break.
I'm sure you can. After having to deal with Jamie and Steven, I can understand.
Right. Konnichiwa, my friend. Welcome back.
Indeed. Well, let's, what do you say we jump in it?
All righty, let's get going.
All right, give me a second here.